All right, locked and loaded, another edition of Inside Ivy Hoops, the podcast. Recording this on a Wednesday, March 7th, 2018. We now head to postseason action. We'll break it all down and then some. Welcome in. It's Brett Franklin with you and my broadcast partner from the Ivy League Network, Jill Glessner. Good to see you, Jill. How are you?
Good to see you in this nice snowy afternoon.
Yeah, it's light out there. You know, for us to be in a quote-unquote snowstorm, because we're broadcasting from our West Lebanon studios, snowstorm for us is like more than a foot.
That's what's coming our way.
Oh, is that what it is? See, I'm just...
The last I heard is it's going to snow all the way until 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Or just, you know, a normal Thursday here in the in the Upper Valley. But we're here to talk hoops, not about the weather. And we'll get into all of... lots to get into here. I'm going to be chatting with Richard Kent from Ivy Hoops Online. Looking forward to talking with Richard. So we'll dive into lots with him. And then, of course... breaking down the men's side of the Ivies, but we're going to start with the women here. And as things are now set for the Ivy League tournament this weekend in Philadelphia, the Palestra, Jill, you'll be down there. And looking forward to this one as Princeton and Penn, Harvard, and Yale all going at it here in this weekend setup. But before we get into that, just as the standings sit here, Princeton, your regular season champs, 12-2 in the Ivies. Penn at 11-3. Harvard at 10-4. Yale at 8-6. Just your general overall thoughts on the 2017-18 Ivy League women's basketball season. Surprises, disappointments, general takeaway from this past season.
Well, I would say the biggest disappointment has to be the Brown Bears. I mean, I was on this podcast
a few months ago.
Picking them, you know, that they were a bunch of underclassmen getting a taste of the tournament last year, and they were all coming back, returning, and unfortunately that they never responded when Taylor Will went down, and it was just really disappointing with the players like Ameta and Agaziano that, you know, they just hit a really big rut and skid in the Ivy play and finished, you know, sixth, where they were preseason picked fourth. So, you know, at the beginning of the season, they were picked to kind of make that tournament. So I would say Brown is kind of my biggest disappointment. But on the flip side, I would say that the most impressive or kind of, you know, the sleeper team would have to be the Dartmouth Big Green. You know, they were picked eighth. Kind of no one expected them to really compete with anybody. You know, they had lost Fanny Szabo last year, their leading scorer. The year before that, they lost Lakin Rowland. So the fact that Cy Lippold came in and ran the show, Kate Lekowitz, who was just honored as a second-team All-Ivy, and the fact that they were still in the mix, you know, one game goes another way, that they would be tied for fourth, maybe making that Palestra run, I think that they had the most impressive season.
How different does this top four look from your original top four when we started the season? Like, you thought Brown was going to be a big contender in this one. I think we both thought Princeton, Penn would be there. Harvard would be hanging around. But Yale, just an impressive season from Allison Guth. You know, I know there have been some big up and down for these Bulldogs. And as Richard Kent has talked to us here on the podcast, you know, some head-scratching losses to start the season. But Allison Guth kept them focused, and they got a big come-from-behind win over Columbia to secure the four spot. But the Bulldogs, and as we talked with Tom Beckett last week, the athletic director at Yale, you asked him, I mean, did you expect things to turn around this quickly? And I think folks in New Haven would kind of be lying to you if they said yes in year two, right?
No, I agree. And definitely Brown took Yale's spot in my four at the beginning of the season. But you think, you know, Yale, if you think of the Yale Bulldogs this year, it was Jen Berkowitz. But I think a player that really, really, you know, she just got honored as an honorable mention player, but Roxy Behrman. Yeah. I mean, she was my most improved player as a freshman. She didn't really do a whole lot, but she won games for Yale, and she took the team on her back to win some of the games down the stretch.
Yeah, Behrman was big up here in the Yale's big win against the Big Green in Hanover. And who would have thought, again, going back to the early part of the season, that win over Princeton for the Bulldogs, I mean, that basically secured their position.
That was
their playoff tiebreaker. Right? That was so big at the time, but little did we know how big it was at said time. So that was the biggest win of the season, obviously, for Yale, and could be a season-defining win for them heading into this postseason.
And I think we have to just credit Harvard for going 12-0 at home this
year.
And the fact that they swept that Penn-Princeton weekend. I mean, I don't think anybody thought that that was going to happen. But again, they protected their home court, and they took care of business, and they swept the Killer Peas.
Yeah, wouldn't it... I'm curious, after that first loss against Dartmouth to open up the season, I mean, and there might have been some nerves in Cambridge that thinking, oh, what's going on here? But at home, they've just been a totally different team. Katie Benson, really good. She didn't have a good game up here in Hanover. Second matchup, she was really good. And throughout the regular season, they were really good. But talk about, I mean, Harvard's the epitome of how good the home court was this year, right? I mean, their prime example, we talked about what the home teams won 60%?
61%.
And so
of conference games.
Yeah, and Harvard was definitely one of those teams. Your thoughts on Princeton, the overall, the top seed, winning the regular season Ivies, taking care of Penn really in convincing fashion for both of those wins. But I mean, just talk about Princeton and the job Courtney Banghart has done, and just with a young team, and they just don't miss a beat, which is very impressive.
Well, I think you have to credit Coach Banghart in her recruiting. I mean, and we've talked about it. The depth that they have is a reason that they are at the top of the league, and they have great leadership. Leslie Robinson, who was my personal choice for Player of the Year because I think she is so vital to their success. But then having the younger players, Carly Littlefield coming in, Abby Myers coming in off the bench,
right.
And of course Bella Allery, who was the Ivy League's Player of the Year as a sophomore. So she just has all of the pieces. And if one of those players doesn't show up, another person is there right to fill their shoes, which unfortunately some of the teams like a Cornell, if Widman doesn't show up, Cornell doesn't have a chance of winning the game. And so that's a credit to Courtney Banghart in creating, just this top tier team with her recruiting, because they graduated, really good players, and every year in and year out, they are still competitive and at the top of the league.
You mentioned postseason awards, and of course on Ivy Hoops Online, we've submitted our own awards, and I know they released the men, and as we're recording this, we haven't released the women just yet. But just kind of give us a taste of what your ballot looked like. Is there anything that you mentioned Leslie Robinson was your Player of the Year? Talk about any of the differences that with the actual awards and what you would have given the Jill Glessner Awards, the Glessies, we'll call it. How about that?
I like that.
All right.
Anna Ross is another player, and we talked to Coach McLaughlin, and he talked about how vital she is to their success and handling the point, taking care of the basketball, facilitating, playing defense. She had most of the minutes played on the team. So I had her as a first team.
Okay.
Because she's one of the most important players on one of the top teams. So the Ivy League had chosen her as a second team. And something, that we should also point out is that, Katie Benson was, I messed up saying this word earlier, unanimous.
Yes. Very good.
Yes, thank you. But she was the only one on the first team that every single head coach voted for. So I think that goes a long way too. And I think, Brett, we vote, based on, we do stats and watching from a different perspective than coaches do. Coaches are looking at it like, who do they have to game plan for the most, right? So when they're doing their scout, who is the player that's going to hurt us the most? And so it's clear that Katie Benson is all over the scouts on the opponent's teams.
Yeah, my postseason awards, I had Bella Allery as Player of the Year for me, Aaliyah Parker as my Rookie of the Year, Tamara Simpson as the Defensive Player of the Year, and then I had Courtney Banghart as my Ivy League Coach of the Year. And if you go by position, my top five wouldn't look much different from the first team that we had. It was actually pretty consistent with Zimmerman in there, Berkowitz, Waketti, Benza was named in there, and then you had Allery as well. So mine didn't look too different, but, again, you talk about Aaliyah Parker for a little bit here. Rookie of the Year, and boy, Waketti and Parker, that was a very fun tandem to watch this season. And we got first up look here in Dartmouth. I mean, they were picking apart the Big Green, but Aaliyah Parker's had herself a nice year, and it just seems like Mike McLaughlin reloads at the big man position every year. It's just funny how that works.
Well, and again, Penn and Princeton are at the top of the league consistently, and it's because of that, the recruits that they bring in. And Parker was a big time recruit. She was getting recruited by many, you know, bigger schools. But, you know, if you think that Rookie of the Year, right, has been won by a Penn Quaker 4 times in the last 9 years. You know, that just, again, is a testament to his recruiting. It was Wachetti got it, Stepanovich, and Alyssa Barron, who was his basically first big-time, big recruit that got, you know, Penn in the winning column. But that is just incredible, and you know, we got to tip our cap off to Coach McLaughlin for, you know, continuing to bring in high-level players to this league, and it's a reason that it's the 9th best conference in the country right now.
All right, let's take a look at this weekend and the semifinals, the Final Four of the Ivy League, and then we're going to go ahead and give you our picks here. So we will start with that first matchup, Princeton and Yale. And again, they split the series. Yale does have a win under their belt. The Tigers just can ill afford to try and sleepwalk through this one here. And I think Yale could give them a game. If the longer Yale hangs around, the better off the Bulldogs' chances are. I do think Princeton still wins, but I think Yale does give them a game in this one.
If Yale can make shots, I think that they can, you know, hang with Princeton. But I do think that the Princeton's experience, Leslie Robinson and the seniors, they're going to have that team ready to go. But I do think I have been impressed that, you know, yes, Yale beat Princeton, which we talked about, which would get them winning in the tiebreaker scenario. But even in the game that they lost at Princeton, they still hung. They still hung with them, in which Princeton had swept the floor with other teams.
All right, so we both go with the Tigers there, but we both think it's pretty close. Penn and Harvard. I think this is a toss-up. I really do. And I know Harvard's a different team on the road, and Penn is going to be at home. This is going to be a big home advantage, especially with the men playing on the other side as well. Where do you go on this? I think it's a coin flip.
I mean, it's interesting that, again, if it was at Leviti's Pavilion, I'm going Harvard all the way, right? But, again, Penn is home. We talked about the home teams have won 61% of their conference games this season. And it's interesting, too. Harvard is the only team in this tournament that has beaten every opponent, which I think, you know, it gives them a little bit of an edge. You know that they can beat no matter who they're going up against. But I'm going with the Quakers. I'm going with the home team.
I just feel it's going to be a pro-Quaker crowd all day and all weekend.
It's going to be the last time that the Ivy League tournament is at the Palestra.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that. But something just tells me with Harvard that they have beaten both of these teams, and I know that they were both at home. And in March Madness, you have to throw out conventional wisdom, which is something I still don't learn. You know, I still keep going with the odds-on favorite. I'm going to pick Harvard in this one.
All right.
You know, no disrespect to Penn, and they're a very good team. And again, they could one side this one here, but
I'm just going to
be a little different here. I'm going to go with Harvard.
Well, and I'm going to go a step farther to say that then in my Penn and Princeton matchup in the championship game, Penn is going to win.
So you think the Penn Quakers are going to three-peat and go on to the big dance?
I do.
Interesting. It could very much happen. And again, if Penn and Princeton come into that situation and Princeton, you know, handedly winning both of those games.
Right, but like I was saying, it's hard to beat a team 3 times, Brett.
I would tend to agree with you on that. My scenario has Princeton coming out on top of Harvard, but I would not be surprised at all if Penn won this thing. Again, right in their hometown.
Do you think if Princeton does not win the automatic bid that they have a chance to get into the tournament?
You know, we were just talking about this.
But it wasn't on air, so that's why I'm asking.
That is true. We were talking about it off the air, I should mention, to our audience. I think they do. I think they do. Because a lot of it, it's reputation, NCAA. You know, they've been, you know, their RPI is pretty good. Strength of schedule, pretty high up there. I think they do. I think they'll get an at-large bid, which says something about this league.
Absolutely. And as a fan, you would want that. You would want a two-bid Ivy, which we had one time before. So.
I have Princeton. Jill has Penn coming out of the Ivy League Women's Basketball Tournament. Okay.
Good.
So we'll do the men.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a close.
Perfect.
And then we're done.
Then I can sled home.